Beloved and holy and only child of our Heavenly Father, child of the one source, child of light, divine. That is who you are. Take it deeply within the consciousness and contemplate what that means. Child of light, divine. I am the one known as Jeshua ben Joseph. Jesus, you have called me. And it is in great joy that I come to abide with you this evening in your timing, as you have chosen once again to call me forth. Always great joy to come at your bidding. Always great joy to speak unto you and to hear your response and your love. Always great joy to be in the remembrance of the divine one self that we are. Always great joy, for that is your divine birthright. And it is very good when you remember to celebrate the divinity of the one self, which is you. And to come alive in that divinity, to know that every day is truly a birthday, a birth of remembrance of who and what you are, and to celebrate as you do the annual birthdays on physicality, but to celebrate every day the birth of the Christ awakening in every morning, and to thank the one self of you that awakens and feels joy and knows that wherever that one self is, you are home. Now, many of you have made trek to come to this place, and you will say that it is far, many miles from home, and yet home is always where you are. You carry it with you. You are home. It is within. But as you look with the eyes of the world and you look out of yourself, outside, oftentimes you will feel discordant. You will feel that you are not home, and you will feel a bit homesick. Many of you have felt that as the small one, and you have asked of the parents, where is home? And they have said, but you are home. This is your home right here. You said, no, not this home. My home, where is our home? I want to go home again. And the parents, maybe they have felt that when they were small, but they have put it aside because, after all, you can't always be, as they think, can't always be thinking of something else like that. You have to be, quote, practical. And so they have said, enough. Stop talking about home. This is your home right here. Be quiet and be happy. But you have said, I know there's more. I know home. And this doesn't always, hardly ever, feel like home. But you do know what you are searching for. And you do know when you touch that place with another person and you come alive in the remembrance of home and you give the hugs and you give the smiles, and even if you do not say a word, you feel at home with that one. That is why you make trek away from the dwelling places to find and remember home once again. Now, on this day, you had great opportunity to feel the energy of the water. Last evening, we played with the orbs of water, and we spoke of being able to see oneself upon the mountain and looking back at the water, to walk on the bottom of the lake and to see the high hills around and know that you can be in all places at the same time. And why? Because you are manifesting it. And so many of you, almost all of you, had that experience today with the lake and with the water and with the expanded awareness of the orb of you, as you would see yourself perhaps to be the orb of light, the orb of the liquid from last evening, and you would see yourself to be the drop of water as individual, and yet all of the water of the lake, of the ocean. For truly you are You are all. And when you come to that place of realizing, I am manifesting everything, everything, no matter how it seems to be in the world, I am manifesting it, and therefore it has to have a good purpose. And if there is a bit of manure around, I know that there has to be, as the saying goes, a pony somewhere in here. It is a very good story and points up a good point of how no matter what you see, it is your gift to yourself. And no matter how others may be acting or reacting, you can keep your peace. You can keep your straight course because you know where you are going. You are going home. You are finding home. And sometimes the world will say, well, there are certain things that have to be attended to before you can truly know home. And that is okay. That is what you have decreed that you will experience before you truly allow yourself to feel at home. But always it is the feeling, the yearning to come home that is like the carrot in front of the horse that keeps the horse moving forward to get that carrot. Always there is that feeling within that I want to know home, I want to know peace, I want to know who I am, and I want to be at peace with myself. So you come and make trek to a different place, geographical location, so that you can have new perspective on what is going on in your affairs and the manifestation that you are bringing forth. Oftentimes, when you will come away from the usual, it gives you opportunity to look upon that which you have been experiencing and see it differently. That is why when you were looking upon the lake, and you did the exercise in imagination of being on the bottom, and how does it feel to be on the bottom of the lake? And you look up through the clear water, and you can see the light above. And that lake, as you discovered, is very clear water. How does it feel to be on top of the mountains that surround that lake, and to look down upon the water, and to know that truly you walk upon that lake, even as you are looking upon it? There is nothing that is hidden or taken away from you that can be taken. There is nothing. And sometimes you can make for yourself the experiences that say that maybe this isn't quite as much fun as I'd like it to be. But those experiences are only temporary. They are temporary and temporal. They are tied in with time, and they change over time, as you have seen. Thank goodness for that sometimes. And they have to do with the world and the perception of the world. So what you are allowing yourself to do in these days is to have a new perspective, to look at the old way and with non-judgment, to say, okay, that has been my journey up to this place, and there is no judgment as to what choices I have made. Every choice you have made adds to the treasure chest of what you have experienced and how you have come through the effects of those choices and has made you wealthier in all of the remembrances. And when you meet a brother or a sister who is going through something similar, you can share with them and say, I know how that feels. And this is what I did that allowed me to free myself a bit. You may recommend certain passages from books that are inspirational. You may recommend certain ones, masters, who speak to the various topics. Or you may do the most simple of things and just put your arm around them and say, I am here for you. That is one of the greatest gifts that you can give to anyone, is just to say, I am here. If you need to talk, I will listen. If you need to walk, I will walk with you. If you need a book to read, I will suggest something that has been helpful to me. If you need, I will help you find. As you go about the daily living, and as I have said, it is great to make trek to a, quote, new location and to interconnect with the ones living in that location. As you will acknowledge the Christ self of them, and you do that by smiling at them, by knowing their Christ self, and you don't have to use words, you don't have to stand upon a soapbox and give them a whole lecture. All you do is to go up to one and you look very deeply into their eyes. Even if you are exchanging the golden coins where you are purchasing something, you look at them. You see them. You have that saying in your world, I see you. I get you. I see you. And many of the ones who serve you in the different locations where you go to purchase something, many of them are not thinking about the golden coins that they are making change for you or whatever they are doing. They have their mind on what is at home and what is going to be happening on the next day or the next week and what they have to put together for that. And if you will interrupt them for half a minute with a smile, they will have an opportunity to breathe, to let go of all of the heaviness that they have been carrying on the shoulders, and to take a deep breath. You don't have to say it in words to them. All you do is to acknowledge them and to smile and to really see them. And this allows them new perspective. For many of the brothers and sisters do not know their own self-worth, even as a person, even as the physicality and the personality. They don't see or feel their own self-worth. They are getting through each day, day by day, and hoping that perhaps they will be worthy of love. Perhaps someone in the family will acknowledge them, will love them. Perhaps it will not even be in the family. Maybe it will be someone else. But they are all looking for affirmation of self-worth. And so you, as the light bearers that you are, you look at them and you acknowledge them. And internally for themselves, without even words, there is the feeling that I must be worth something, or that person would not have stopped and looked at me and smiled. They won't put it into words. It goes at the subconscious level. But I am being acknowledged. I must have some worth. And so what you do is you give them a gift. The simplest of things for you to do, to smile at them, maybe have a conversation. Oftentimes you will meet ones and the opening conversation will be about the weather. Nice day. A wet day. Or whatever. But you have opened yourself to them, and it gives them opportunity to feel that they must be worth something, otherwise she wouldn't have spoken to me. Or he wouldn't have looked at me that way. He would have just gone about his business and taken his purchase or paid for his horses that are on the inside of the car nowadays, your horsepower, to feed the horses. And they would not have known, unless you looked at them, that you really saw them and that they do have worth. Later on, you may get to know them a little bit better, and you may be able to then change the dialogue that you have with them. But that is okay, but it is also not necessary. What is the greatest gift you can give to them is to say, I see you. I acknowledge the Christ of you. I am one with you. You don't say it in words. But you say it with the eyes. You say it with the smile. You say it maybe with just plain mundane conversation. But it allows them to know that they are worth your attention. And it is the easiest thing for you to do and the greatest thing for them to accept. And who knows, as the ripples go out upon the pond, perhaps they will say that to some of their co-workers, and before you know it, it goes out and it touches and allows the collective consciousness to rise up higher. Even without reading all of the holy scriptures, heavens, that's one of the more advanced courses. Because truly, and I digress a bit here, but your holy scriptures have been written with a certain agenda, making them a wee bit difficult to understand, so that you would have to go to an intermediary to say, what does this mean? What do I truly believe? Tell me what I believe. Now you are in a very fortunate place where you are manifesting many books and texts that speak to you directly. And you don't have to go to someone and say, what does this mean? If Jesus said this, what did he really mean by saying this? And then you get given to you second, third, fourth, millionth interpretation that one has received from his teachers. And the meaning, the true meaning from the heart, sometimes gets lost in the words and in the generational teaching. So the greatest of lessons, the greatest, is just to acknowledge, as I acknowledge you, for being who and what you are, and for sometimes the struggle that you feel, the question marks that come up, and you wonder, am I making the right choice? And I know that many of you in this grouping are sitting at a place of making choice and wondering, if I choose A, well, maybe I should choose B, or maybe G, H, I, J, K, etc. And then if you choose K, separated ego, because it is such a friend to you that you have walked with many, many lifetimes, will rush in and say, yes, well, what about choice F? Are you sure that you want K? Because you may have to live with K for a while. Are you sure you want to do that? And all of the questions come up. But you know within yourself, by taking that deep breath, you feel the answer. It may not be a mental thing. Quite often it isn't a mental. But it will be a feeling that you know, that it just feels right. And sometimes it will be a question of timing. Maybe it doesn't feel right for right now. But maybe it'll be right in some months or years down the road. No judgment attached to it. You don't have to make a choice, and you don't have to live in the place of judgment of self, second guessing. You're all very practiced in second guessing. I know from watching you. You make a choice, you make a decision, feels right. But I'm not sure, maybe something else is out there. Maybe I should look a little further. Maybe I should think a little further. Maybe there's something else. Maybe there's a book I should read first. Well, you're very good at postponing decisions by saying, well, I need a little more information. You don't really need information as much as you need allowance for feeling. Because the heart will tell you, you will resonate. And you may make a choice that separated ego and all of the friends say to you is a crazy choice. And yet you know by the feeling that it is the correct and proper choice at that time. And as I have said to you many, many times, nothing is ever written in concrete. If you make a choice in one moment and the next moment you want to change it, and you want to wear a different piece of raiment, then change it. If you decide to do one thing in the morning and you decide by noontime that you want to do something else, There's no great referee that says that if you make different choice, you're going to suffer forever. The only suffering that comes up is when separated ego comes up and says, are you sure? Are you really sure? And that can bring a bit of suffering, because then you are on one hand, but on the other hand, and you don't know where you are until the greatest gift of all that you have given to yourself is that gift of the deep breath, of stopping and saying, I am all that I see before me, all of the choices that I see as possible. I am divinely guided by my inner self. I feel the answer in my heart. Not what the world teaches you. The world says that it has to be mental, and then you have to back it up like you would be a lawyer and have all of your reasons and cases and whatever that you can point to and say, well, this is why I choose. It is a feeling. It is the emotion of the feeling. And you know this very well, because there have been times when you have felt very strongly to choose something, and yet all of the, quote, evidence has been for something else. And all of the friends and family, quite often family members, let me digress a bit on family members. Family members are one of the greatest gifts that you build in to the life experience, because they are as sandpaper. They will rub you until you are polished. And it is what you ask of them. It is truly why you have come to be in certain biological families, because you knew that they are going to be very good at sandpapering. And sometimes you really don't like it. And there's no judgment in that. You have your own feelings and your own emotions that come up and then are released, because you don't have to judge them. They are serving you. But they sandpaper you to the place where you are a polished gem. So when the family and even friends, close friends, will do a bit of the devil's advocate, as it is called, and they will say, are you sure you want to do that? That is the stupidest idea I've ever heard. Why would you want to spend so many golden coins to make trek to be with a group of people that you only see once a year, and to listen to some far-out creature speaking? Wouldn't you be better to save the golden coins for something that you could touch, a piece of furniture, a fabric, something that you could actually, perhaps a vase that you could put flowers into, something tangible? And you say, no, this, I have to do it. Maybe intangible. You may not see the value of it, but I know, I feel the value of it, and it is something I have to do. And your sandpapering experts will keep on sandpapering, because that is what you have created them for. Until finally you say, either in words and definitely in deed, I am going off to do my own thing. And I know what is right for me, at least in the moment. And if I change my mind in the next moment, that's okay too. Family is great. And you choose your family members because they can play the roles that you need them to play. So when they start going on their certain scripting, you just smile at them. It will confound them a bit. You just smile at them, allow them to speak, to do whatever they want to do. And even if it sometimes will pierce the heart and you feel a bit of emotion, then you take the deep breath and you allow it to go. And you say, that is old thinking. That is where I used to be. I used to feel vulnerable to other ones' judgment of me, especially family members that I thought should know me better, and they don't. They are playing their own scripting that you have asked them. And so there may be times when you feel a bit hurt, and then you say, no, been there, done that. I am a new person in Christ. You have friends who say that, and they mean it one way, but the truth of your being is, each time you take that deep breath and you choose to know your true identity, you are a new person in Christ, because you have come into that place of knowing your divinity. So when you have friends who say, and they're very proud of it sometimes, that I am a new person in Christ, I have found Christ, you say, that's great. So have I. And then if they want to get into definitions and words, you allow them to have their scripting. But you know in your heart the Christ that you are, and it needs no defining, because it is a feeling, it is a knowing. But for them, they may need to use the definitions and the words, and that is okay, because you have moved on and left it behind you. No longer necessary for you to make judgment, because you know who you are. I know who you are, and I love that which you are. Always and forever, I love that which you are. It is the one Christ. Yes. As it seems that I speak to one individuality in this room, truly I am speaking to all of you. I love that which you are, because I know that which you are. You are the divine one source. Come forth from the one mind, the one Christ mind, divine from before time began. And when the purpose of time has been fulfilled, you will still be the Christ that you are. Because truly we have spoken at other times of the concept of time and how you have made it as part of this reality, lowercase r, so that you could make challenge. Am I going to be on time? Am I going to be late? Is it the right time to do this? Etc. All of the questions about time. How long? Nowadays, I hear this so often. Not how many furlongs, how many measurements, miles is it until some place, but how long does it take to get there? Well, does that not depend on how many other vehicles are in front of you? And you have seen that. It may be a short distance, but a long time. But you do it so that you can have time to breathe, to change your mind, to know the divinity that dwells within. I see you, some of you, using the time in your vehicles to talk with me. I see you sometimes in your vehicles where you will burst into song. And it doesn't matter who is in the car, vehicle next to you, and they see you singing. And they wonder, what is going on with that person? But you are very much in the heart, in the vibration of love, and expressing it. And it is okay to do that. And there are times when you will ask of me to drive the vehicle. And I do. I have done this for all of you at times when your mind has been elsewhere. And then you have come back and you have said, I don't remember the last few miles. So who was driving? The Christ self of you. Most fun. Now, to come back to the depth, the inner depth of the lake as it symbolized your inner deepness. Every one of the places that are suggested that you go and meditate and sit with and feel the vibrations are symbolic of you. The clarity of the Christ self of you, the depth of you, the height of the mountains around Have you ever felt that you were on the mountaintop in an experience? Perhaps when you were writing a beautiful piece of poetry and you felt yourself transformed and transported somewhere else. Sometimes when you have felt the mountaintop experience, so you go now and you see the physical mountains and you stand on one of the ridges and you look out to the other ridges. It is the mountaintop experience, symbolizing the mountaintop experience of yourself. Away from the world, away from all of the voices that clamor for your attention. And it is a mountaintop experience. The lake as well. Have you ever felt yourself to be the depth of clear water? Very deep within you abides the clarity of the Christ Spirit. And as you look upon the beauty of the water, see that it symbolizes you. This is why you have created all of nature around you. It's to remind you, to give you clues, to say, wake up and know that which you are. To look at everything with new eyes. That is why you have made trek to a new location, so that you could see with new eyes and to see yourself in new perception. And when you return to your usual dwelling place, you are going to be a changed person in your own perspective. We say this at the beginning of each gathering, that the person you have seen yourself to be when you first walked into the grouping is not the person that will return to your dwelling place as you see it now, many, perhaps many miles away. You are going to be a new person with new self-image because you have stopped for a while and listened and taken the deep breath that breathes in all of the Christ around you. You have so many miracles surrounding you, so many miracles even coming to this place, so many miracles in making choice that you were going to come. There was no one who held a certain instrument to you and said, you must go. You followed your heart. And sometimes there were the ones who said, why? Why do you want to do that? Foolish person that you are. And you say, yes, but I am a happy fool. And I'm going to be even happier when I return home. Wonderful Christ that you are. The one Christ that we are. The Christ awakening and taking her power and feeling and knowing to you too the power of the Christ. Each and every one of you. So be it. Beloved friends, peace be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. I'm the one known as Joseph, earthly father to one Yeshua. I have also had incarnation as Saint Germain later on. But in the lifetime that I was known as Joseph, it was a most wonderful opening for me to know the human experience and also to know the divine. As there was one little one born unto Mary that I was asked to shepherd, who was very much a teacher in all that he would do. And he was very much like the little ones that you have nowadays who would be asking always the questions. Why? Why does this happen? Why does the rain come down? Why does it not go up? Why do the fish swim in the water? Why, if you take them out, do they flop about? Why do the men sit on one side of the temple and the women on the other side? Why? Always why. Most of the time he was asking for answers, but a good part of the time he was teaching by his questions. The same as your small ones are asking of you to explain to them why the world acts as it does. And as you have had the small ones come to you and they have wanted to know the questions of the world, you have had to go deep within yourself to come up with an answer. First of all, you will give the generational answer, the one that has been given to you. And then, as the small one will keep on asking, but why? Then you have to go deeper. And it allows you then to search out the truth that has been not completely hidden, but has been buried deep within you. Each of your small ones are your teachers. Each of your small ones come seemingly innocent, but they are not. They have a wealth of experience behind them. And they have agreed, as Yeshua agreed, that they will play a certain part in the scripting, and that they will make demonstration of one type or another. Each of the small ones do this, as you have done when you came as a small one. You have had certain agreement that you made, that you would be teacher unto the brothers and sisters in a certain way. It was not spelled out for you. It was left to you to do what my son Yeshua has said to you many times, to do the improv, and to come up with your own answers as to how you would interact and how you would live out the soul purpose. But each of you has agreed before the incarnation that you will do and complete certain issues for the brothers and sisters. And as my son has spoken to you so eloquently in the first part of this evening, as to family, family is always your greatest teacher. Family always pushes you to the limits where you have to then go within yourself and ask, what is my truth? What do I know to be true? What do I feel to be true? And when one Yeshua, most wonderful babe in arms, as all small ones are when they first come, and they seem quite innocent, and yet they can push, as it is called, your buttons. He grew in stature and in understanding, and I did as well, because it had been a gifting to me to be with this one and to play with this one and to answer this one's questions and to listen to his answers. Because sometimes, as you have noticed with the small ones, they can come up with answers to things that you hadn't thought of. Answers sometimes that make a lot of sense to them, and yet to you seems to be very creative, off the wall, perhaps you would say, some of their answers. Because they come at the world from a different angle, a different perspective, until there is the molding and the shaping that the world does. But with Yeshua, he knew from the beginning that there was something wonderful about life. He knew there were questions that he wanted answered about life. And he knew the underlying love of life, so that he could take the small bird that would be by the wayside that perhaps had given up, and he would hold the bird in his hand, and he would know the life pulsating in the Word. So in belief, so in trust, so in knowing that it was, as you would call it, contagious, and the bird would flutter and come back to life and fly off. I saw him do this several times, and to me it was a great awakening because I had not thought this to be possible, that a small bird, a small animal, something that had been perhaps injured, he could take in his hands and know the life force in his hands and transmit that in a way that would be receptive by the one he was holding. He knew later on, you have your stories in the Holy Scripture, how to call forth the innate healing that each and every one of you and of the brothers and sisters at that time have within, because you are much more than the body. And the healing comes from the awakening, the knowing of the life force that is forever at your fingertips, within the breath, and within the belief, so that he could walk amongst the crowd. And ones who believed that he could heal, and he had good press, as you call it in this day, and word was far and wide that he could heal. But in truth, as he said, I do not heal anyone. It is the Father within that doth the works. And he knew it was the life force coming forth in everyone who believed. And they did not have to have him come and do great ritual in order to do healing. But they had to believe that if they were within his presence, then there would be this magnetic energy, which they felt, but which they, as he has been telling you many times, which they were believing in and projecting forth. It was not that he was so charismatic as it was their belief about him that was charismatic. But as I said, he had good press, and it went far and wide so that the multitudes followed him everywhere and wanted to hear what he had to teach and wanted to be in his presence. Many wanted healing, but many wanted just the feeling of knowing their own upliftment, of being in what you will perhaps feel tomorrow. I know that your suggested assignment on the morrow is to feel the energy of the waterfall. He had that type of energy, free-flowing, powerful, and ones wanted to be in and near that energy, to come alive, to be cleansed by that energy, to be healed by that energy. And as there was belief, so it was done unto them. I watched as he grew in stature. I watched as he grew in understanding of human behavior. He did not always accede to human behavior. There were many times when he wondered why ones of the brothers would treat other brothers or sisters in a certain way. The same as you have wondered and you have questioned, why can there still be, after all of the teachings, all of the masters, all of the good words that have been said, all of the writings, why can brother be set against brother to the place where they will release and ask that they release the body? Many times by violent means. And you wonder, I have heard you asking, have we not evolved far enough that we do not need to have war and fighting and the weapons of war? And he also questioned this. But then he saw that his true mission was not so much to judge and to ask why the world was a certain way, but it was to show another path. It was to show how life could be lived in peace and in love with and for the other brothers and sisters. When he spent what is called the 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, it was as time when you have been searching within yourself as to who am I, why am I, what is happening, why is all of this happening? And you have been in your own wilderness of the questionings and hoping against all hope that you would find an answer. And as you would allow yourself, as he did, to come apart from the world, you have found peace. You have found peace within yourself, and you have known the fountain of peace. Not in the world, but in yourself. And this is what he knew and came to know even more strongly when he spent the time apart from the world in the wilderness of his own questioning and found the strength and the power of the Christ that he has now been called. But all of you, as he has shared with you, are the Christ as well. And all of you, to some degree or another, have recognized and called upon that power within you. So I saw this Yeshua as he was growing. I saw that he had emotions the same as the other children. I saw him work through emotions of self-worth. Now, your holy scriptures don't tell you that. Your holy scriptures say that he was directly descended from God the Father as the true and only Son of God. But when they speak in your scriptures that way, they are speaking of the Christ nature. And he realized, recognized, and took it into his own being and understanding that he was and is the Christ, the same as he has been speaking to you, to recognize that within yourself. But I saw him feel and question his own self-worth, because, you see, he had a cousin named John, whom later on you have called the Baptist. And the cousin was a bit older than he and much more stocky of build than Yeshua, although Yeshua was quite tall. He was over 6 feet tall and quite muscular, very strong in his own way. But he did not have the stocky build, and he did not have the extra months of bodily growth that John had. And so at first, he felt inferior to John. He knew the emotion of jealousy. As all of you have felt, as you have done self-judgment, and you have said, well, that person is smarter than I am. That person is more well-developed, the muscle, very strong. That person has a greater singing voice. That person has a whole list of things that they can do better than I can do. You've gone through that. You wouldn't reach the place where you are now without having had those emotions. So I gave him a clue. Because, you see, I was known in those days as a healer. And one of the ways that I knew that was very effective for healing was to sit by flowing water and to feel the energy of water that does not judge, but only flows, and to be at peace with the energy of the water, and to see yourself as the peace and the power of the flowing water. So the small one that he was, because he was what you would call 5, 6 years old, he went and sat by the flowing stream and came to understand it did not matter what qualities his cousin had, that he could run faster, he could climb a tree faster, he could jump from the tree into the water, and he could swim better than Yeshua. It did not matter. Those were qualities that John had, but he did not have to have those qualities. Yeshua understood that he had his own qualities yet to be developed. He had, because, again, he knew the power of life and how it renews itself, a garden. When he was very, very small, When he was about what you would call the 3 years old, he asked for a little plot of ground where he could grow certain garden. And so Mary and I gave him a section in the courtyard of the dwelling where he could have his garden. And he knew with the seeds that he planted lovingly and spoke to them that they would follow their innate pattern of growth and would flourish. And he tended the garden, and it grew. And it became larger over the years, because when he started, it was a small patch, because he was small. But as he became a bit older, it was a larger garden. And there came one time when there was a lack of water for watering the gardens of the community, and some of the other gardens were failing. His garden never did fail. Even if there was not the water, and even if there was not the rain, and there were periods of time where the rain did not fall, but he spoke to his plants, and they grew. And it was seen to be, by the ones in the village, the community, to be a great miracle, and it fed the village. His small garden, what it started out to be a small garden, it grew. So there were things that he knew innately and allowed to come forth that Mary and I did encourage, yes. We did not say to him, no, that is not how things work. We watched him because we knew, we had been told intuitively that he was a master, as all of you are. So that does not put him above you and put you below. But we knew that he had purpose. And so we did not step upon any of his beliefs. We stood back and we watched, sometimes in awe of what he knew very deep within himself, what he remembered, and what we also remembered but had put aside because we thought we had to be of the world and to get along in the world. So I had my business, as you have heard, of carpentry. I had a great, and still do, love of carpentry and of taking a piece of wood and feeling one with that piece of wood and asking of it, what would you like to be? How would you like to be fashioned? Do you want to be a leg of the table? And if you do, do you want a certain pattern of beauty, or do you just want to be a straight, supportive leg? Do you want to be the top of the table? What carving would you like? And you have heard the story, and this is true, that I did the carving on the temple doors, huge doors, higher than a man's head, because they were the entrance to a holy place. And it took me several years to do the carving. But again, I asked of the wood, how would you like to be fashioned? How would you like to have pattern, certain pattern of design? What would you bring forth? And within my knowing, I would have vision how it wanted to be, and I would bring that forth. And as I said, it took me some years to carve the temple doors. But when they were finished, they were, as others called them, works of art. I would say they were works of life and works of love, for I spent many hours in love with that wood. Every piece of wood is still alive. Even though it is cut down, fashioned into the most beautiful display cabinets, as it is fashioned into the tables, the mantelpiece of the, what you call the fireplace, the place of fire, even as it is fashioned, it still has life, vibration. So one of the things that you are doing this week is to be in nature and to feel the energy and vibration of wood, of the trees. all of the trees that are alive, as you understand, alive, I would suggest to you that on the morrow, when you go out to experience the flowing water of the waterfalls, that you hug a tree. Find some moment in the day where there is a tree that calls to you, and hug the tree. Find a big one and hug it best you can. Have someone else join with you, join hands so that you encircle the whole tree if it is that big. Or if you find a small tree, hug that tree. Feel the life energy of the tree. It will speak to you of its gratitude for being acknowledged as a living form. And as I have said, even after it is cut down and fashioned into something else, it still has life energy. Even as it would be burned in the pit of fire, it gives its energy to all of the universe and will in time recycle, because it will nourish the ground and it will spring forth again as a tree, maybe a different species of tree. Because you see, trees are life. Trees are creative. Trees do not have to follow a certain belief pattern of humans. Now, I know that cuts to the chase right there, because humans feel that, of course, we are superior. We make the choice whether we will water the tree, whether we will cut it down. We make the choice as to what we will do with the tree. But I say unto you, you do not control the life force of a tree. It is as you are, energy, in form. And energy is never destroyed, as one of your scientists have already said to you. Energy is never destroyed. It may change pattern, but it is never destroyed. And the energy of life in a tree is never destroyed. So come awake. Come awake in the life that you are. Come awake on the morrow when you feel the energy of the trees. Allow yourself to rise up as a tree. You have played this game when you were a small one, perhaps, of being the tree, and how you would be the branches, and you would allow the branches to float in the wind, and perhaps to see the leaves or the fruit, the trees. With your imagination, you could make quite a tree, and you would play as that. So on the morrow, hug a tree. Go up and thank that tree for giving to you the life force of oxygen that you breathe in. And then stop for a moment and listen. And it will thank you for the carbon dioxide that you give off. Because you see, it is a balancing. It is a giving, what you would call a win-win. The tree receives from you, you receive from the tree. A balance of nature. So feel the energy of the flowing water. Feel the energy of the tree. Many trees you have around in this area, many of what are termed the old growth trees that have been there and have stories to tell. For they have allowed the roots to go deep into the earth. And they have stood tall and watched as certain tribes, certain civilizations have flourished, have moved away, have changed. They have stories to share with you. You have read some of the legends, and they are the stories of trees, of civilizations, and how the trees have watched and been part of all of the scenario of life in its forms, different forms. Humans, and I understand this well, tend to think that you are at the top of the pyramid. And I thought that too. I understand that feeling. But in truth, it is all one and a balance of all one. As you give, you receive. And as you receive, you give. And everything is in that balance of life. There is no form of life that is not energy, that is only, or can be snuffed out, is what I'm trying to say there, that is only for a moment or so. It may change form, but it is still life, energy. So acknowledge that as you walk amongst the trees. Acknowledge that after you go back to your usual dwelling places, and perhaps everything is covered over in the man-made covering called the concrete. And you say, but where are the trees? There is an evolving consciousness that is calling for the trees. You have a children's book that has been written by a very wise person asking about the trees. Where are the trees? And the appreciation of trees. Be in awareness of the balance of life. Allow yourself to feel not only the energy of the flowing water, that is important, but also the energy of all living forms that are around you. The energy of friends who sometimes have been a tree of certain nature. Now, in the early days of life upon Holy Mother Earth, human form was not developed the way it is now. In the early days, there was a playing, experimenting, I suppose is a better word, of form, of energy, and how to be in form, how to take the energy of life, the energy of light, and bring it into form. So there were stages of formation where you experienced being the formation of a tree, the formation of a mountain, part of a mountain, because you wanted to know, how does it feel? How does it feel to be the vast ocean, or to be the one that is acclimated to the ocean and can swim in the ocean with ease? How does it feel? You can imagine that even now. But I say unto you, as you expand your remembrance of all that you have ever played with, you will recognize that you have been everything that you see. So it behooves you to celebrate it, not to feel that you are in control, but to know that it is a balancing. As you give, you receive, and as you receive, you give back. And to be very much in that energy of all divine energy. Many of you have given unto me great honor as you have called me Saint Germain. That was another lifetime after the one that I had as Joseph. The lifetime that I had as Joseph, and I am very pleased to be able to speak with you as Joseph, because, as I have said many times to you, in your Holy Scriptures, I am an also mention. In other words, I'm in the Holy Scriptures and my name is in there, but it's not a very big part. But in truth, it was a big part because it was an honor to live with the one you now worship as Yeshua or as Jesus. But the one you are now coming to understand is the same as you. Long enough have you placed him upon a pedestal so high above you that you could not reach him, but you could worship from afar, because that is what your, quote, learned one said unto you. Long enough have you placed me upon a pedestal and called me saint, Germain. That lifetime as Saint Germain was one of a culmination of other lifetimes leading up to that lifetime where I had awakenings, the same as what you are doing in this lifetime, breakthroughs in understanding of all that is, breakthroughs in understanding where I could then put the pieces together in a different formation of consciousness, of understanding. And when I came to the lifetime as Saint Germain, I could bring all of that together and to share that with you in writings and in teachings. But that does not make me above you or better than you. And I do not want to stay in the realm of sainthood apart from you if you see yourself not to be equal with me. In other words, you are Saint Linnell, Saint Alvin, Saint Ed, Saint Cheryl, all of you. You can give yourself that appellation, that terminology, call yourself that. Because truly, you are as much a saint as all of the saints who have been codified, worshipped, set on a pedestal by your religious forefathers, who said, this is how it is going to be. And that is how it has been. But you're coming now into a place of new understanding about who you are and what you are and what the experience of life is all about. And it is fun, is it not? You do various experiments and you read the articles and the mind starts to work. And you say, well, if this be true, then perhaps this other can be true. Or perhaps it leads A, B, unto C, and a new belief. And that which I have believed on the yesterday now appears different today. And then you have breathed into it the possibility that on the morrow it is going to look even more different. And that is the exciting part of it. Because on the morrow, all of the words that we speak in this evening are going to be recorded, yes, but they're going to be embedded somewhere in your consciousness. Not because they are pearls of wisdom that you could not live without, but because they are touching parts of you that you have asked to have ignited, to come alive. So we will keep this short because I know that the bodies are tired. And that you want to spend time with each other, which again is important to do. On the morrow, what is your homework to do?
Homework is to hug.
Hug a tree. And know and stay in love, to be love, to give love, and to feel the energy of the flowing water as you watch and become one with the waterfalls. So be it.